Part two of our study of the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. So I invite you to open your Bibles there. Heard a story about a middle-aged man who was distraught over his wife's stubborn refusal to admit that she had a hearing problem. One day, he asked his family doctor for advice on how to convince his wife that she had a hearing problem. And the doctor promptly told him that when he got home, that he should confirm the hearing problem by opening the front door and from there asking his wife, "What's for dinner?" Then the doctor said, "If she doesn't answer, move closer to the kitchen and repeat the question again. And if she still doesn't answer, then move right up to her ear and say it right into her ear, 'What's for dinner?'" In this way, the doctor assured him she would have to admit her hearing problem. So the man got home and he raced home with joy. He got there and he opened the front door and he said, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. And so he goes a little closer, right up to the door of the kitchen. And he says again, "What's for dinner, honey?" And again, nothing was said. And so when he looked into the kitchen, sure enough, his wife is standing right there. So he walks up to her, he gets right up to her ear, and he says, "What's for dinner, honey?" And she turned and looked him straight in the eye and said, "For the third time, we're having meatloaf." Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This, of course, in the parable that Jesus tells, pertains to the hearing and the understanding of the Word of God of spiritual matters. And those who cannot hear are those who do not understand, take it to heart. And those who can hear are the ones that take in the Word of God and understand it and let it work through their lives. Now, we have already begun looking at this parable last week, and I won't read verses 1 through 12. We kind of already looked at that last week, but we're going to pick up with verse 13 and read through verse 20, if you'll follow along there with me. "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on the good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's pray together. Father, as you open your word to us today, God, we ask that you would prepare the soil of our hearts, that we would be those who not only hear it, but accept it and allow it to produce fruit in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I think typically as we read this parable and hear the explanation that Jesus gives of the parable, that we oftentimes say to ourselves, well, I'm so glad that my heart is the good soil and that Jesus has come and shown me His Word, and I'm so glad that I am an example of that one who has the strong faith, and I feel so sorry for those poor people whose hearts are rocky or weedy or the hard soil, and I'm so glad that I'm the one who's the good soil. And it's easy for us to kind of fall into that pattern. Oftentimes when we read a story like this, we tend to put ourselves in the best light. We tend to read it and say, well, that's me here. I'm the fourth soil. I'm the good one. After all, I go to church. After all, I listen to the sermon. After all, I go to Sunday school and we study the Bible. After all, I have my daily devotions and I read God's Word. And all of those things are true about me. I must be the one who is the good soil. It's very clear, of course, here that the people who are the good soil, who have the good soil, the heart condition that is the good ground, are the people who hear the Word of God, who accept it, who receive the Word of God, and who then produce fruit. But I think that as we look at this parable, if we only put ourselves in number four, we might make a very serious mistake, because I think it's still oftentimes true that we may fall into one of the other three categories. Now, I want to say this first of all, that I think that this parable, first of all, applies especially to those who hear the gospel presentation, the Word of God, who hear the good news about Jesus, how He died on the cross for our sins, how He was raised from the dead, and those who repent from their sins and turn to Him in faith will be saved and will have the gift of eternal life, will have the forgiveness of sins, and will be a part family of God. In other words, it applies to those who are unbelievers and how they hear the gospel and whether they respond to it or not and are saved. And I'm sure that you can see that it certainly applies to the unconverted. But I think that we make a mistake if we think it only applies there. And I want you to see today, as we look at this parable, that it might just apply, each of these four conditions might just apply to you this morning, or one of them at least. And it might not be number four, okay? And if it isn't number four, maybe we need to think about, what does God want to do in the soil of my heart? And so, that's kind of where I'm headed as we look at it today in part two. Now, if you've done a little bit of gardening, even a little bit of gardening, you know that not all dirt is equal. There is dirt, and there is good dirt, and then there is extraordinary dirt, you know? And sometimes, you know, you're blessed with good dirt, and sometimes your dirt won't even grow weeds. I mean, when I drive down F Road over here and you go by the park that isn't a park, you all know what I'm talking about. There, nothing grows there. I don't know if they kill the weeds or they spray, but my guess is just terrible soil. That stuff, when it rains, you'll see that the salts just come up to the top and you'll see it just look like it snowed after it rains there because of all the salt that is in, all the alkalines and all the salt that is in that soil. It's just terrible soil. My guess is if they ever try and turn that into a park, they're going to have to do some major work with the soil over there. Now, I want to say at this point, that we are not all victims of fate. I do not believe that all of our cards have been dealt and that whatever soil you got is what you got and it can never be changed. Jesus, I don't believe Jesus is saying that you have this heart condition and whether you receive the Word of God or not, whether you bear fruit or not, has been determined and there's nothing you can do about the soil in your own heart. There are other parables that we'll get to eventually as we study the Word of God that talk about doing things with the soil. In fact, I heard a sermon from a layman one time. The sermon was entitled, Dig and Dung Christianity. And I kind of like that. It was about the parable of that Jesus told about the tree that was there in the garden, and it didn't produce fruit the first year, the second year, and finally he says, should we just cut it down and get rid of it? He says, no. He says, dig it up, you know, cultivate it. He says, dung it, you know, put the fertilizer on it. And he says, we'll come back next year and see if there's any difference. And so I do believe that even if your heart has been hard or rocky or thorny in the past, that does not necessarily mean that that's the way it has to be today or in the future if you allow God to work in your life. So, did you notice that even the people that were closest to Jesus, the 12 here, the people whom Jesus called, these people, these disciples, were so stumped by the parable that Jesus has to explain it to them. Chances are you and I probably were too, maybe the first time we heard it. If we hadn't heard the explanation, we might not have gotten it. The 12 disciples at this point were not the best of soil, for they didn't understand. And if the 12 disciples here were not good soil, what makes you so quick to think that you're the good soil? In fact, my life at times might be a soil of lesser quality. So let's take a look quickly at the farmer. The farmer, the sower, is the Lord Jesus Christ as he goes out to sow the seed of the Word of God. He says the sower sows the Word. So he sows the seed of the Word of God. And all who teach the Word of God, who read the Word of God, who preach the Word of God are following in those steps of the sower, of Jesus, giving out the Word of God. And so it is. The sower is Jesus, the seed is the Word of God, and the soils represent the conditions of the hearts of people, and those are four soils represent the four conditions. We have the hard path soil, the wayside ground, which represents the hardened heart. We have the rocky or the stony ground, which represents the shallow heart. We have the thorny soil or the thorny ground, which represents the worldly heart. And then we have the good ground that represents the one who has the productive heart. And so the soil determines the quality and the quantity of the spiritual fruit. In other words, your heart. The condition of your heart determines the spiritual productivity in your life. Now, last Sunday, among other things, we asked the question, why did Jesus use parables? And we explained what a parable was. And if you didn't get that part, you can go online and listen to it. We posted all of our sermons online there, at least many of them. And so you can go back and listen to that. So I won't go over all of that again today. Today, we're going to turn our attention to the four responses that the four different soils represent. And before we look at the first soil, let me say the obvious thing that we'll see as we kind of go through here, that is that, as I said, this parable obviously applies to anyone who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are four obvious responses that people can have. Some people, it goes in one ear and out the other, and they forget it before they ever get very far. The wayside soil. There are those who hear it and accept it really quickly and are really excited about it, but very soon things get tough and they seem to just fall away. There are those who hear it, receive it, and it seems to have a good start. It sprouts up, and then they get distracted by the things of this world, and they don't produce fruit. And then, of course, there is the fourth one, the good soil. The point of the parable in general, of course, is that the condition of the soil of your heart determines your potential for growth and spiritual fruit. So let's look, first of all, at the wayside soil. Verse 15, it says, "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now the wayside, of course, was the path, way that was either on the side of the field or sometimes went down the middle of the field where the people would walk, and men's feet walked upon it. They trampled it down and it got hard. And so the soil had been trampled and it had become hardened. And so the seed doesn't have an opportunity to go into the ground. And before it could go in there, the birds come, and birds love seed, and so they eat it up, and it's gone before it can even go into the ground and take root. And so Satan is pictured by these birds that come and snatch the word away. That's very easy for us to interpret, isn't it? The Lord is speaking of the hard, unresponsive heart, a person who is stubborn and unbroken, who says a determined no to the words of the Lord in the Scriptures. This is an individual who is unmoved and untroubled by the message of God's Word. Someone who is indifferent, who is insensitive to the Word of God from the moment he hears it and thereafter. Now certainly, right away, you see the obvious application. I do as well. This is a picture of an unconverted sinner. And of course, Paul helps us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, where he says that Satan, who is the god of this age, it says he has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And we know that that's true, that Satan comes and he blinds the hearts and the minds of unbelievers so that even if they hear the word of God, it doesn't have an opportunity to sink in and to make a difference in their lives. He comes and he just snatches it away when they hear it. So, if you're here this morning, and you're someone who frequents gatherings where the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, is being sown, you need to beware. Because every time that you open your heart and do not allow the seed of the Word of God to find root in it, you're allowing your heart to become just a little harder and a little more unresponsive. And consequently, the next message you hear from God's Word may even have a harder time getting in. And the more you allow that to trample down your heart, maybe the less opportunity you may have to respond. many of us have family and friends who have hard hearts. And whenever we bring up the subject of Jesus, they get angry, they mock, they turn away, and it hurts us to see our family and our friends rejecting the Savior that we love so much. In Luke chapter 8, verse 12, where we read just a moment ago, as Luke recites this passage, Jesus applies this directly to the lost. He says, "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and snatches the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." And so these are the ones who continue in a lost condition. So certainly it applies to the unconverted, because we know that Jesus applies it that way in the Gospel of Luke. But let me ask you, can it also apply sometimes to those of us who are believers? Soil becomes hard when too many feet trample on it too often. And I think it's not just unbelievers who at times recklessly open up their hearts to all kinds of people and influences that trample down their heart and make it hard for the seed of the Word of God to get into their life. You know, even the apostles were sometimes like this. In John chapter 2, verse 22, it says that they failed to remember, they forgot the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that He was to rise again. In Luke chapter 18, verse 34, Jesus, after He had very plainly told them the obvious truth about His death and His resurrection, I mean, He told them exactly what was going to happen to them. Do you know what it says of these apostles? It says, "But they understood none of these things." This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things that were spoken. See, Satan comes and he blinds and he snatches away. And sometimes if we have too many other things that are just trampling upon our heart over and over again, sometimes it gets hard for us even to hear. And before the Word of God has a chance to make a difference in our life, we forget. And so I'm asking you this morning, is your heart hard to God's Word, or has it been? Now I said, yeah, it primarily does refer to those who are unsaved, but it may also apply to you. What are you exposing your heart to that has made you become unreceptive to the Word of the living God? Well, let's move on. The stony ground. Verses 16 and 17. The stony ground, he says, "These likewise are the ones on stony ground who, when they hear the Word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the Word's sake, immediately they stumble." Now, the stony ground, of course, indicates that ground that had a shallow skin of soil over a bedrock. And so when the seed went in, it germinates very quickly because that ground gets warm faster than the other. And it sprouts up, but also because the the ground is soil. It has no place to put down root. And so when the sun comes out, it's scorched, it withers, it just almost dies. Now it says, of course, this is speaking of the person who seems to accept the Word of God and gets really excited about it. They have this emotional connection with it. But then it says, when tribulation and persecution arise because of the Word, they decide that the cost is too great, and perhaps they just fall by the wayside. They stumble, he says. In other words, suffering exposes the shallowness of their heart. Now, a question that we may ask when we look at the stony ground, of course, is this. Is this person saved? Is this person born again? Or is this person with someone that has an imitation faith that makes a profession, but their life doesn't back it up? Well, let me say, first of all, what is clear from the parable here. We've already seen it's very clear that the person who has the hardened heart, who does not receive the Word of God, but the devil comes and snatches it away, that person is lost. It says he does not believe. The Gospel of Luke said that. It said that lest he would believe and be saved. And so this person did not believe. The other thing we know for sure is that soil number four, when you get to that one, we know that that person definitely must be saved, right? Because they hear the Word of God, they receive it, and it produces a crop 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. There is the production of that spiritual fruit that is the proof of their spiritual life. And so we have number one is lost, number four is saved. What about the two in the middle? And now, as I read commentary after commentary this week, it seems that they fall into two camps here. Some believe, yes, those who are in groups number two and groups number three, the stony ground and the thorny soil, those people must be lost. It must be a fake faith that they had because they didn't produce any fruit. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. There are others that say, well, I'm not so sure about that. Perhaps there are some who believe and just don't produce much fruit at all. And so what's the truth here? Well, let's go back to that parallel passage that is there in Luke chapter 8 for a moment, where Luke gives us this parable. When Luke records how the Lord Jesus explained and interpreted this parable, he indicated that the seed falling on the rocky soil, we already said, is represented those who look at it, verse 13. Those who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. Now, I know we could snap to a quick judgment and say, well, this cannot be true faith. Because if the person had true faith, they would never fall away. And certainly, I have known some people who seemed to have faith, or seemed to believe for a while. Maybe you've known people like this as well. But then when things got tough, then they fell away, and some of them never seemed to return. And maybe their faith was not true saving faith. But if you look at how Luke records it, it doesn't say that it was imitation faith. But if you look at how Luke says it, he just says they believed for a while. It says the ones who believe for a while. Now in verse 12, when Satan snatches the seed from the hardened heart, he says, lest they should believe and be saved. And so in verse 12, to believe is a saving faith here. And when you get to verse 13, could that believe not be a saving faith? I mean, do we have any grounds to believe that, to think that believe in verse 12 means something other than believe in verse 13? That makes me think. Is it possible to believe for a while and then hardships come into your life and temptations come into your life, and because of those hardships and those temptations, you just seem to give up on it for a while? And so your life is very unfruitful. What would you answer? Well, you say, I know that person. Well, so do I. What I do know is this. God intends for all saved people to bear spiritual fruit in their lives. Let me say that again. God intends that all people who are believers in Jesus Christ, who are saved, His intention for every believer is that they would bear spiritual fruit in their lives. That's the whole point of the parable, isn't it? The sower goes out to sow the seed, and what does the farmer want? The reason he sows the seed is to get the crop, to see the spiritual fruit that it would produce. Do you want to be sure of your salvation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and let His Holy Spirit begin to produce fruit in your life. And the fruit is a sure indication that there has been saving faith in your life. So, we know this applies, of course, to unbelievers. Does it also apply to believers? I think so. Some of us at times have a superficial acceptance of something that we've read or heard in the Word of God, and we joyfully embrace it and say, that's the truth. I believe that. And yet, oftentimes, maybe sometimes, we don't let it affect our lives. It doesn't bear fruit. We drink this Christianity light. And we don't want hardships. And we certainly don't want persecution. That's the stony ground. Let's move on to the thorny ground. Verses 18 and 19. Now these are the ones who are sown among the thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now again, just as in the stony ground, the seed in the thorny soil has a promising start. It goes into the ground, it says, he hears the word, and you know, it's implied that this plant germinates, it begins to grow, but before it can produce any fruit, it gets choked out by the weeds, by the thorns. And of course, Jesus says that those thorns are the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for the things of this world, the cares of the world. And those things cause it to be unfruitful. And so, certainly again, these truths can apply to those who hear the gospel and are not converted. But let me ask you, can these can this also apply to believers? Isn't there a real danger of us packing our lives with so many things that it leaves no room, no time in our hearts for Christ? The more complicated our lives become in this day and age, the more necessity it is, I think, that we make a priority of reading and studying and living the Word of God. So I'm asking you this morning, is your heart so crowded by other things that the Word of God is getting choked out in your life? Li Tian, who is a persecuted pastor in China, said this as he saw that, you know, they living in that communist society and having so very little of things, very many poor people there. And yet, consumerism is starting to grow, even in that communist society. And people are wanting more and more things, and materialism is getting a hold of some of the people there. And this pastor said this. He said, consumerism, not communism, he said, consumerism makes you think that you don't have to suffer to follow Jesus. It makes you think that you can have lots of things and Christ as well. He says, in reality, you end up with lots of things. And most of the time, you don't realize that you have left Christ behind. And I think that sounds like a whole lot of people that I know. Sometimes it sounds like me. Finally, let's go to the number four, the productive heart. Verse 20. But these are the ones sown on the good ground, and those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And so to have good heart, the good heart is indicated by those who hear the word. They not only hear it, but they accept it. They receive the word. And they bear fruit. And the fruit, he says, is 30, 60, some even 100-fold. Did you notice that even among the good hearers, among the good soils, the good hearts, that there's a variety of productiveness? Some 30. Some 60, some 100. So even among those who have good hearts, who hear the word, who let it really take root in their lives, productiveness varies. Generally speaking, if I could sum up what this parable is saying, I know this doesn't apply across the board, but generally speaking, we might put it this way. The Lord Jesus and His Word, He goes where He is wanted. Is that too simple for you? God goes where He is wanted. Is He wanted in your heart? Do you want other things better? Would you want comfort rather than persecution? Do you want to open your heart to the things of the world that are hardening your responsiveness to the Word? I heard a story recently read this story about the Vietnam War. And during Vietnam, a soldier by the name of Bao was conscripted by the Khmer Rouge, the communist army there. And in 1966, he was only 17 years old. He became totally just dehumanized by the war. He saw his best friend shot dead. His girlfriend was raped and strangled. To deal with those traumatic memories, Bao chewed a jungle leaf that was prized for its hallucinogenic qualities so he could just get away from it all. He would eventually lapse into dreams of a perfect world, and he would then wake up again to the horror of the war. One day his troop was ambushed by a South Vietnamese patrol. And after this fierce skirmish, only one of the enemy survived. They got him and they stood him up to shoot him. And they gave him a last request, and he didn't ask for a cigarette, as many do at their last request. Instead, he asked if they could take out the little book that was in his pocket, and if they could read some of those words out loud. And so they did. The man who took it out opened it up and began to read, and it said, "And Jesus said." But then he got no further, because just at that moment, the air was filled with what sounded like thunder, and the trees around were shredded with bullets. And this man, Bao, he dived for cover. He just managed to escape the destruction, because at that time, a helicopter gunship had come over ahead, and in that melee, the prisoner had escaped. The next day, the soldier asked his troop leader, he said, "Well, what did Jesus say?" And the troop leader looked shocked. And Bao quickly learned, you shouldn't ask those questions. But it continued to haunt him. Day after day, month after month, what did Jesus say? On the march back to their unit, Bao was struck with a painful diarrhea. Doesn't sound very pleasant. And he went out into the jungle a little further from his troop, of course, to relieve himself. And as he was down by that tree, he heard gunfire, and there was a huge explosion. And when he returned from the trees, he found all the rest of his companions dead. He continued to be a soldier for 4 more years, but it continued to haunt him. What did Jesus say? When his unit finally reached Saigon, in his own side, the communists were victorious there. He found a Bible on a dead person. And he took it and he covered it with brown paper so nobody would know what it really was. And he read it all the way back to Hanoi. And he said these words, "I finally got to read what Jesus said. And then I decided I wanted what those words said." He says, "I was spared by God even when I was in my sin." He said, "That diarrhea saved me. But it wasn't just that. God was sparing me." He said, "Because He wanted to save me. He spared me so I could hear what Jesus said." you could see the soil of that man's heart. All he got was a little phrase. And Jesus said. And because he allowed that tiny little seed to come in and germinate in the soil of his heart, God made sure that he was able to hear more. And eventually, to read the gospel for himself and be saved. I believe God's still doing that today. And the question is, will you take the Word of God that you've heard today and let it sink in and let it produce fruit in your life? That's what God wants for you. If you are unsaved today, let this Word come to you today. Turn away from your sin. Turn to Jesus. Let Him save you. Give Him your heart and life so that He will be your Lord. And if you are saved, don't let these words go in one word and out the other. One ear and out the other. Don't let anything choke out this Word. Let it produce fruit in your life. Ask God today as we come to this invitation time, what is the condition of the soil in my heart? Let's stand together. Father, hear our prayer today. As we pray today, God, I know that there may be someone here today who has not really received the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, has not turned away from their sins and turned to you to be saved. Father, I pray that today that seed of your word would find good soil. And Lord, that you would cause that seed to grow. And Lord, that they might be saved today. Father, I pray for us who have heard your word. Lord, that we would have ears to hear so that what we receive, because it's found good soil, because we've opened our heart, oh Lord, would you produce fruit in our lives so that we would be more and more like Jesus every day. Amen. Amen. We're